number 5. Put your seatbelts on. I have more notes than I had last night. So we'll see. I was praying this morning. I have my devotions. That's a good thing to do, you know. And I was reading through the book of Luke. And notice that passage where the Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples. And I was thinking about that. And I was praying this morning and asking that God would open the understanding of some here who might still be struggling with this idea of dress and appearance. And I hope that you just open your heart and see what God has to say. And I'm not trying to preach opinions. I'm trying to preach what God says. And it's still in the Bible. All right? And I think we gotta be careful when we preach and teach on things like this. You know, we want to teach and preach Bible. Amen? I mean, it's easy to just rear back and, you know, I'm sorry. I've heard people, you know, get all excited and say, oh, yeah, let them have it. And then, you know, the guy's up there, let the witches wear the breeches. It's like, that's Bible? I say, like, I don't see that in the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not in the Bible. That's what is biblical about that? Okay? You probably just had all the first-time visitors who came will never come back. And your opportunity to reach them is gone. I think we need to be careful that when we teach and preach, that what we teach and preach is Bible. And so the Bible here says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want to give you something. I hope it'll help you, okay? The title, it's in the handout there, God's Tests for Your Dress. And you'll see, I gave some references there. You can try to keep up with me if you want, and we'll just kind of skip around. I can't thoroughly develop any of this, but like Pastor Derman said, just enough to whet your appetite, get you thinking, get you to go home and study. That's what we want you to do. But it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is what? Good. The word prove means to test. We're supposed to test. And our text gives us some good advice to follow in this matter of dress and appearance. We should prove all things. That includes our dress, our haircut, the styles that we wear. We should put it to the test. It needs to be more than just a list of rules. Some people will conform to the rules and have no idea what they're doing. And if we just give our kids a bunch of rules and never try to explain to them what they're supposed to be looking for in the Bible, then how are they going to make decisions on their own? Every Christian should be able to make decisions for themselves based on biblical principles. And I've got 3 tests that I want to look at. And also, by the way, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not what's acceptable to you, what's acceptable unto the Lord. So the test is this. Number 1, is it distinct? People say, I'm tired of that argument. Well, that's why I started with this one. Okay? We usually start right with, is it modest? We'll get there. Amen. But is it distinct? We understand that God made men and women differently. If he wanted us the same, he would have made us the same. And I'm glad he didn't. Amen. Amen. I have no confusion. I am a man. All right. That's not only my birth gender. It will be my death gender. And it is my life gender. Now, we're distinct. We're distinct by gender. Okay? And that's seen in creation. Now, you see, I know this. I know you know this, but I'm laying a foundation here. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, that's Old Testament. Good. I got New Testament too. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Didn't change. It still hasn't changed. Okay? So we can see just from creation. We see it also in marriage. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. A man and his wife. They are different. Distinct in gender. What's seen in roles. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not wives, submit yourself unto another wife. And then they go crazy and
drive off a cliff and kill everybody, right? You saw that in the news recently. Men are to lead and women are to follow. That actually comes into play when it comes into how we dress and how we wear our hair. You study the scriptures, that bears that out. Now, we need to be distinct in gender. Then secondly, we need to be distinct in clothing. Oh yes, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, is still in the Bible. Still read it. And the Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Some people like to argue that verse, again, Old Testament doesn't apply to the Christian. You know, are we going to throw out all the Ten Commandments too? There's a moral part of the law, and there's a ceremonial component, and we don't discard moral things. There's other things in that same chapter. People say, well, do you wear garments? You know, it's the same chapter, garments with mixed fabric. You know, the same chapter says don't do that. Yeah, but it doesn't say it's an abomination. It's a ceremonial component of the law. I don't have to worry about. I can wear mixed fabric. All right? It's blended. All right? Oh, yeah, I'm one of those blended Christians. All right? And it's okay. It's not an abomination. But what was an abomination in Moses' day is an abomination in our day. Okay? And so God made us distinct. He made us distinct in by our gender, in our clothing. Okay? God, an abomination is something that God extremely hates. Amen. And if it's something that God extremely hates, we need to be very careful not to even get close to it. Amen. Everyone says, yeah. If I came out in a dress, there'd be a problem. I mean, even if I went down to Walmart in a dress, I'd be getting some strange looks. Right? But it's okay for women to wear men's clothing. Oh, no, don't go in that pants thing again. Well, I'm just going to tell you like it is. Like it or not, dresses have always been considered women's clothing. Pants have always been considered men's clothing. It's quiet. Amen. Now, the only time we ever see anybody in the Bible wearing pants. You say, there's no one in the Bible that ever wore pants. Yes, there were. And the only time you ever saw it was men. Now, when discussing the word apparel, Easton's Bible Dictionary states, priests alone wore trousers. We read in the scriptures in Exodus 28, 42, Exodus 39, 28, Leviticus 6, 10, Leviticus 16, 4, and Ezekiel 44, 18. The word, we would look at it and pronounce it phonetically, breeches. But it's really pronounced britches. That's really how it's pronounced. And I was reading up on this, and I saw someone just make a casual comment. Says the breeches in the Bible were just britches. And that's all they said. And I was like, wow, you didn't prove that to me. And I was a little skeptical. I just did some digging. I'm like, what do you mean? And, you know, I got my old Webster's 1828 dictionary out, and I looked up the word, as I thought it was, breeches. It wasn't breeches, it was britches. Here's the definition. A garment worn by men. Sorry, I was in the dictionary. Covering the hips and the thighs, a loose garment now called trousers. I said, okay, let me see what it says about trousers. So I looked up trousers in the 1828, spelled a little differently. It says, a loose garment worn by males, extending from the waist to the knee or to the ankle and covering the lower limbs. So the breeches of the Bible were knee length. Okay, they were loose fitting. They were under the priest's wore. Now, this passage does not indicate that all men in the Bible wore pants. It doesn't indicate that. The priest did. I'm being honest. I'm not going to build a doctrine that's just not there. But what I'm trying to show you is that they were distinctly, in the Bible times, distinctly men's clothing. Okay, they were distinctly men's. They were that which pertaineth unto a man. And no women in the Bible wore breeches. And even in our society, we have reminders all around us of the distinct types of clothing. Go down and look at signs on the restroom. You see a picture of a man? Right? Looks like he's wearing his breeches. And you see a picture of a woman and she's wearing what? A dress. And it's just, we understand what that means. Okay? Most of us are familiar with the phrase, we know who wears the pants in that family. That goes back again to what? Authority. Even 1828 dictionary, listen to the rest of the definition. It says, this is an 1828. To wear breeches is, in the wife, to usurp the authority of the husband. Words have meaning. Okay? And it was quite... the women's liberation movement and the rock and roll movement in the 50s and 60s really pushed women to start being rebellious and to be more like men. That's what it is. And, just think about Hillary Clinton. I saw a picture of her when she after her husband was inaugurated as president. She's got a dress on. How did she campaign? She didn't want to be seen ladylike. She wanted to be seen like a leader. So she put on her breeches. Just a little side point. Some women will argue that they would never wear men's pants. And so because they wear women's pants, they've maintained the distinction. Historically, I disagree. Okay. And if you are going to say that, no, I wear women's pants. Well, let's think about women's pants for a second. They're more modest than men's. Are they not almost always tighter and accentuate certain parts of the body? Yes, you know that. All right, let's move on. Also, we need to be distinct in our hair. Men and women should have distinct hair length. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:14-15, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is what? It's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. So it's clear that God intends men to have short hair and women to have long hair. Okay? It's unnatural for a man to have long hair. Long hair is a shame on a man. But for a woman, it's a glory. It makes her beautiful. And since long and short can be subjective terms, how do we gauge it? Well, I think the scriptures give us a little bit of a gauge. It says that the woman's long hair is given for a what? Covering. Covering what? Her head. It doesn't say her face. Okay. All right. Yeah, wear your hair down here. We don't want to see your face. It might help. No, I'm sorry. I told you I was going to offend somebody. Cover the ears. It needs to be long enough to cover the ears. Is that in the Bible? No, sorry. I'm giving you my standard to try to keep a biblical principle. Okay? I think it should be long enough to cover the ears and long enough to cover the neck. That's what I think. Say, I don't agree. That's okay. And I think then if a man has short hair, it ought to be short enough to stay, not cover his ears and not cover his neck. Now, when I was young, in a teenager, man, I had my hair, and I was in the 80s, so I had the mullet, okay? Oh yeah, so it was just like poofing up here and long and dangly back here, and I could play with it. Oh yeah, I was cool. Oh yeah, no, I was sissified. Sorry. Now, God made men and women differently and expects them to maintain that distinction in how they dress and how they wear their hair. So, when you see a person with long hair in a dress, you should automatically say, that is what? It's a woman. And if you see a person with short hair wearing pants, it should be obvious that it is a man. Is it always the case? You ever been surprised? I I mean, you see someone with some beautiful long hair and they turn around, ah! Whoa! So number two, I got to move. Is it modest? That's the one. Oh, yeah. God commands modesty. Now, while speaking to Paul, Timothy, Paul relates of God's requirements for how women are supposed to dress. So, ladies and men. And, oh, wait. Yeah, men. Men. Okay. This is where it gets really confusing. I'm going to go back to the distinction here again. Pants are for who? Okay. Now, what happens when men wear their skinny jeans? Their skin, yes, it is nasty, but their skinny jeans, we would say they're effeminate. Why? Because they're looking like women's pants. But wait, it's like we get confused now. Women aren't supposed to wear pants, and then men want to wear pants that look like women. It's what on earth? And by the very definition, trousers, they were supposed to be loose anyway. Okay? So we got a really mixed up society. And no wonder why there's so much confusion. And by the way, you know, the average person, that's all they know. And we have people coming to our church, they don't know. New believers, they don't know. Be patient. Help them. Teach them. Bring them along. Okay? We don't look down. You know? I'm glad someone didn't look down on me when I went into church the way I was. Okay? I needed some space. People gave me space. We better not get a high and mighty attitude. But let me get a number two. Is it modest? So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, why does the Bible have to say so much about women and why they're supposed to dress modestly? Because a lot of them have a problem with not dressing modestly. And because men have a problem with lusting. Right? And so there are more. Most all the Bible verses that I can think of about dealing with lust and lusting after the opposite gender are directed to who? The man. Because they got the problem with it. And where are most of the descriptions of how someone should dress directed? To the woman. Because obviously they got more of a problem with it. You don't like that, but it's okay. Still there. Characteristics of modesty. Okay? And again, words have meaning. The word modest, the words modest and apparel, they have some good meanings here. Now, the word modest is, it involves orderliness, decency, and propriety. That indicates that a woman's attire should be morally appropriate. That which becometh woman professing godliness. Now, let's break this down. I went back to my Webster's 1828 because it's such a reliable, good dictionary. And see, you don't have to, you know, just get the dictionary and you're pretty good, right? Get the Bible in your dictionary and you're good. Know what words mean, okay? Modest. Now, here it's defined. Restrained by a sense of propriety. Say, what's propriety? A suitableness, a propriety of conduct in a moral sense consists of conformity to the moral law. So it's being moral. Ooh. Okay, then it says not bold or forward. So modest means not bold or forward. Remember the attire of the harlot? Proverbs 7? She's loud and stubborn. I think not only came out in just that action, but also in how she dressed. Okay, then it also considers, as a modest maid, not loose, not lewd. This is modest. Not loose. The clothing ought to be loose, but the morals ought not to be loose. Not lewd. Lewd means given to unlawful indulgence of lust, addicted to fornication or adultery. Dissolute. Lustful. Not lewd, not lustful. So, if we wanted a working definition of based on Webster's, I'd say it's this. To be modest is to show restraint in one's dress. It means to be moral in appearance, not immoral. To be modest in dress is in a manner that does not involve or promote lust. So, women, put it to the test. Is what you're wearing going to create or involve or promote lust in any way? So,
A couple of things about this. Number one, it ought to be long and not short. The word apparel, Vine's dictionary, expository dictionary says to let down, to send or let down, primarily a garment let down, a loose outer garment. Now get the idea. By definition, it's supposed to be a long, loose, fitting, robe-like garment. We would call that a dress, right? Long, loose fitting. How long is long? Well, we're not left to arbitrarily guess how long is long, because in the book of Isaiah, God defined what nakedness of a woman is. Come down, 47 verses 1 through, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, as referring to women, not men. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt be no more called tender and delicate. Take the millstones, grind the meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. That's not what they were supposed to be doing, but he's saying this is what's going to happen to you in this time of judgment here. He says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, thy shame shall be seen. Thigh. God defines nakedness for a woman as the exposure of the thighs. And so your garments need to be long enough to cover your thighs. That's why, in cases of schools and things like that, there might be rules in a handbook that says it should go past the knee when you're standing or sitting or whatever. You know, that's the letter of law. Get the spirit of it. God doesn't want you to show off your thighs. So if it's too short, when you sit down, you say, well, technically it's long enough. Well, why don't you make it a little bit longer to make sure? I get so tired of people just cutting it right up. Right there, I'm okay. Yeah, and you step the wrong way, you're not okay. And you sit the wrong way, you're not okay. You say, well, when I sit down, it's covering my knees when I look at it. Yeah, but not when other people are looking at it. Let me just put it that way. Ladies, don't buy clothes that barely cover. It ought to be totally unquestionable. Anyway, loose fitting. So not only long, but loose fitting. That means not form fitting. All this fitted stuff for women. Oh, I wonder why they do that. That includes not just your dresses. That includes your tops. Because remember, the long robe-like garment was basically the whole thing. Make sure that it's not tight and not form fitting. Why? Because men have a problem with lust. And because God says, you're not supposed to wear it. There's a whole lot of Christian women who wear clothes that are way too tight. Yes, sir. Here's a test for your skirts and dresses. I call it the hug and tug. Okay? If you're sitting down and you've got a tug on it, it's too short.
Right.
It's too short. If your top is a little bit loose and you're always tugging to get it back, it's too low. And if it's hugging, it's wrong. So just remember, does this thing hug or tug? That's the hug and tug principle. That's Dave Olson doctrine right there. And God created coats of skin. All right? That word coat comes from the word means a cover. It's a covering, not a clinging. It needs to be ladylike. And let me just quickly and touch this real fast. Characters of immodesty. It shouldn't be lustful. You know, that idea of lewd, again, given to unlawful indulgence, to lust. The phrase, you ever hear the phrase, dress to kill? Oh, yeah. Cambridge Dictionary gives a real good definition of this one. Intentionally wearing clothes that attract sexual attention and admiration. Problem with that. Okay? You know, if it's low cut, look, God gave it as a covering. Don't have it low cut. Lucid, that's the idea of being transparent. God gave coats of skin. Can't see through leather. Okay? All the sheer and all this, you know, just get rid of it. All right, and the last thing is it worldly? Is it worldly? A Christian's relationship with the Lord is affected by his relationship with the world. Now, I'm out of time, but let me just say, worldly.
The lust of the flesh, it's a desire to participate. You know, we want to be accepted by the world, don't we? None of us want to go out there and look like a kook. But we are peculiar people. I'm sorry. And it's okay to be different. Peculiar means beyond the usual. It means special. Amen. And ladies, when you look like a lady, you're beyond the usual. Amen. Okay? You are special. Amen. Okay? And hairstyles, by the way, you don't... Guys, I don't want to bother this, guys. I'm going to get there in a second. Lust of the eyes is the desire to peek. I was listening to one of Dr. Allison's messages, and I couldn't use his because he was here. You know, he was thinking the lust of the flesh is desire to. You don't even remember. It was great. One of these is desire to have, in the pride of life, is the desire to be, and the desire to experience or something like that. That's what it was. So anyway, the desire to peak. All right. You know what we're talking about. Then the pride of life, the desire to praise. You want praise. Devil is like that. I'll be like the Most High. If what you're wearing, let me get on the boys here, is to be cool, you got a problem. Some of you work real hard at getting your hair. You get that. How long does it take you to get that ledge? You working at that ledge. You want to be cool. The pride of life. I'm talking about those skinny jeans. You know what they got now? Search it on Amazon. Just type in men's skinny sweatpants. And they're there. And I've seen them. On a couple of guys. In our youth group. Don't talk about you. Why? I want to fit in. I want to be the world like the world. I want to look cool. Listen, you're wearing your skinny sweatpants. That ain't cool. And you got your ledge. And you got the flip. And you got all of this. I'm telling you. I'm teaching and I'm done. Thank you, Lord, for the time you've given us. I pray that you help us be careful with our dress. May it please you. May we put everything we do to the test. In Jesus' name, amen.